The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bingham, where I'm from.
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Where I'm from, Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, breathe me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people I'm from.
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Way I'm from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Dayton, bro. Way I'm from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people I'm from.
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
I'm a son of a boy, what happened?
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, aka Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. If you want to call in, the number is 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And it's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful show that comes on every Friday. And our topic is always about real life. We talk about the problems we face in the country, how we could identify them, how we can correct them, find solution, but we must address them. But most importantly, we all be humans, and in many ways, we have become divided, whether it's politics, whether it's the church, whether it's us as citizens. You know, we are a divided nation, and in some cases, religion separates us. Some cases, politics separate us. Some cases, hate separate us in this country. And sometimes, you know, where we have become systematic by a system that was not designed for us, we fought against the system. You know, we went so far as to get majority rule. We got independence. We got self-governance, where we have our own, with the color of our skin. For the last 50 years, after the late great Sir Roland Simonet, who was the first premier of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we have had late great Sir Lyndon Oscar Pendleton, who I've known for many years, worked with him from, I think, is 91 to 97. I worked with former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, who served two terms, the Honorable Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie. I also worked with a lot of members of that particular party, late great Bradley Roberts. I've also worked with the late, great Barnett Nordich. I've also worked with former member of Parliament, Travis Robertson, and now I'm also communicating and working a small portion with the now MP of the Benin Grandstand, Honorable Mr. Watson. You know, his hands are full, dealing with a great population of people. You know, there's a great population of people in that community. There's a lot of work to be done. I don't know if he have the finances that is required and the programs and teams to be more effective. You know, his hands are full, you know, so I do my thing in my particular part of the community to try to ease some of the pressure, not off the government, not off the government, but me as a citizen trying to do the best that I can to help uplift my part of my community that I reside in, and then he used the FAFs as to encourage other people to do the same, you know, and programs that have helped government institute and pass this legislation, that's being a natural citizen. So, you know, besides that, I understand what it is to be a nationalist. A nationalist is an individual who is concerned with the well-being of the country. Not himself, not a political party, not the church, the well-being of the country, which is the community. People who see the suffering of the kids, we see the suffering of the teenagers, we see the suffering of senior citizens who sometimes can't find bed at the Princess Margaret Hospital, you know. Sometimes they ain't no machines for persons to use to do their blood transfusion, you know. The waiting is long. So there's a lot, you know, that we are lacking in the country. And sometimes me as an individual, I take an overall look and I try to see the weakness in our system and could address it and have the callers and people who are listening to understand where I'm coming from so that they themselves can realize the importance of not staying quiet, you know, understand what is most important at this time in the country. And if you look at it, with many people around the country who are unemployed, you know, these things are concerning me in the country, and their future is not bright at all. And I just want to talk about a few topics today. And I'd like for the listening audience and those who like to call in briefly, and you can give your opinion to make the conversation worthwhile, but also to get your point of view, to see if you're on one par. So today we're going to talk about some of the problems that affect us, but we really don't know they affect us because we become blind, you know. And when I'm talking about a system, I'm talking about a system that we fought against the British, okay? We fought against oppression. We fought against many of us who were underpaid in the country at that time under the UBP. Were underpaid. Many people were getting injured, and they were not getting paid. So we had poisons like Sir late great Sir Randall Fox, who fought for the rights of all Bahamians here and immigrants who were here. Because he just didn't look at it from that perspective. He looked at it as we're the Bahamas, and he wanted what's best for persons like himself, which that includes all of us. And Sir Ronald gave his life. He dedicated. He also fought, and he got victimized by the powers to be in this country. And we fought against that system, the British system. And they had their own beliefs, they had their own judges, you know, they had their administration staff, and behemoths were never given the opportunity to hold any high position in the country, whether it's teachers or whatever the situation was. So we got together as a nation and said that, you know, we understand what's at stake, we are tired, and we want better. So we got together, and we finally, from 1967, then we got independence. And from there, we transitioned from the UBP, the British administration, the British police. We transitioned, and we hold the position as Commissioner of Police, Commodore of the Defense Force, and et cetera, banking jobs, being president. So we started to hold these high positions around the country, and we became a nation where we won, but we lost our way by becoming institutionalized. The same system we fought against, the oppression, and y'all gotta understand where I'm coming from, right? With the police and the government, Burma Road Riot, remember all this stuff? If you read history, the Burma Road Riot, people say behemoths never fight for their independence or their right. No, they never fight. Behemoths fought a lot in this country. You had Pompey, you know, what you think the election was about? What you think the gathering was about in Grandstand? Like I said, the Burma Road Riot, you know, behemoths were killed from the British soldiers. We must remember all of these things. People said behemoths didn't die. Yes, the Burma Road Riot shows you that behemoth people were killed from the British officers. That was put on alert for the revolt that was happening in the country. So we fought. We died. Many were in prison. Pompey and many others who we can't remember their names. And now that we won, we inherit a system. And this system now we inherit, the police, the defense force, and et cetera, right? And even ourselves in the inner city community where I would call themselves drug dealers and hitmen, okay? So I'm going to go to politics, I'm going to the police, I'm going to the defense force, and I'm going to classify us as citizens who took gone from, you know, a community of peacefulness to a community that now wants to take out its brother or sister for a dollar. And all that came into effect after we got this independence. And here's where I'm gonna start to let you, the general public, understand exactly where I'm coming from. So we inherit the police force. We inherit the PLP and the FNM organization, right? So what happened now is when we inherit these organization, there were black people in prison, right? There were criminal activities happening in the streets. So now our police start to train, and we start to oppress our brothers and sisters who were less fortunate than us because of the drug pandemic that happened that destroyed the family value. So now we have black police officers, black judges, black politicians, right? So what happened now is the power get to our head, you know, because that was a Roman system we inherit. The same system that crucified Christ, that crucifies John the Baptist, that crucifies basically all the prophets in the Bible. That's the Roman Empire. Pass on to the English, to the French, okay? And they're the ones who were in charge of the Caribbean. That's why we were in charge. The British was in charge of us until we got independence. France was in charge of Haiti, you know, et cetera. And you know, Princess Diana, the late great Princess Diana, and King Charles were supposed to marry. And if them two didn't marry, France and England would be controlling all the Caribbean countries and all the landmass in this part of the world. But because he decided not to marry Princess Diana, he was more demoted. And he was denied being king in the time frame as long as his mom lived. That was the agreement. That was punishment. And we inherit that system. Same system with the crucified Christ, John the Baptist, and we say we're a Christian nation. And we fought against the system. Same system Christ fought against, that preach against. We inherit it. And we inherit it, right? And we apply it. We start to take position as the prime minister, we start to take position as a pastor, we start to take position as a police commissioner. Some of us started to let that get to our head, and we didn't stand up for what's right in the country. We started to turn a blind eye to what a lot of wickedness that went unchecked in the country over the last 50 years in the country, went ignored, and it built up. And we started to fight against one another, hate one another, you know. We did some serious things to one another in this country, whether it comes to murdering one another, whether it comes to how we deprive our citizens of the square dollar by both political parties, what we agreed on, to leave no one behind, okay? The church itself was designed, again, to gather the tithes and to make sure that every need is met, okay? So let me get to the point now. So we inherit the beliefs and system, and we only were locking up our own. So that means when we inherit it, there are black brothers and sisters who were getting locked up at that time, and they had a mental health disorder because of that particular time was a drug era, okay? So they had a mental health disorder because the family structure was destroyed. So what happened then is that the authorities to be our governments didn't know about mental health disorder. They didn't know that many kids born in the 70s and 80s were drug babies, okay? And what happened is that we had a lot of sick people in the country. So when we had the position, we started to neglect and take advantage of those who we hold in custody, the way how we treat them. And even though you're a police officer, what I'm saying is that even though you're a police officer, that when we hold other individuals of our same color, how we treat them when they're in the station. Some do deserve to get treated harshly. But if we look at their story, we'd see that many of them didn't have a family structure and were just thriving on their own. And we abused them, you know. The police, we take advantage. See, the other day I was watching the news and we saw immigration officers, what they were doing to a crippled Bahamian man. You know, we don't look at this as nothing. You know, but look who it is. It's black on black. You're not seeing two white people. As much as we talk about the white phobia, this is not about the white phobia. This is about us on TV. That's you. That's your brother. That's your sister. In some cases, people deserve to get treated in that type of manner because their attitude, their stink, they disrespectful. I could understand that. But this is our culture. We are a violent nation. Okay, and our system being protecting the system. When our officers go there, right, based on all the information we have been receiving in the last 2-3 years alone of how many senior officers in this Commonwealth of the Bahamas who's involved in allegedly involved in illegal activities, who are either before the courts or before the courts in America, here in the Bahamas, people who they're connected with have gone missing, killed. Everyone's name who have been calling and these scandals involving police, you know, either being found dead, certain officers' names were being called, her being arrested on allegations of corruption, you know, defense force officers as well. Our immigration department itself is being tarnished, where we had to change around the whole infrastructure of immigration because of corruption. Who are we doing it to? Behemoths. All across the board, it's just behemoths, behemoths, behemoths. Just throwing ourselves right in. And then we turn the blind eye because we're so caught up in the politics and religion of things that we will not speak out for what's going on in our country. And now let me get to it. We have here in the Tribune, okay? Excuse me. Where are you? Excuse me, one second. We have in the Tribune, again, where we have officers from the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right? They are seeking a judge trial. These officers who are being accused of manslaughter. Let me see. Let's call it now. Okay. Officers involved in a manslaughter and the 221 shooting death of Rosario Major. They want a judge alone trial under legislation passed this year allowing defenders to waive their right to a jury at a Supreme Court hearing. They made this. Kevin Maynard represents Sergeant Sweden, Sergeant Johnson, Sergeant Roll. He said he intends to file an application for a bench trial. If approved, it would be one of the first major cases to test the reform. The move comes more than 2 years after a, let me go to page 7. After coroner's court jury found Major's death to be homicide by manslaughter. The officer are accused of fatally shooting him in his car outside a bar on Fire Trail Road on December 26, 2021. Justice Archer Minnis told the men that their trial is scheduled to begin on June 1st, 2026, with a status hearing set for February 25th, 2026. If the matter cannot proceed on the scheduled date, an alternative trial date of March 8, 2027 has been fixed. Mr. Maynard has previously raised concern about the potential effect of, what did it say? Press trial publicity on jurors. In March, parliamentary passed a bill giving defendants the option to waive jury trial. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said the change, which mirrors practice in countries such as the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom, would help guard against jury bias, shorten trials, and improve efficiency. Former Chief Justice also endorsed the move at the 25th anniversary of Eugene DuPage Distinguished Literature. So these officers, first of all, let me just start. These officers are concerned the fact that I was reading in a different article saying they won't have a fair trial by jury because of the information that was spread in media by the media's Radio, Guardian, Tribune, Zatness, and they say they want to have a fair trial. What surprises me is that why would officers say they want to have a fair trial if they are not guilty? That's the thing. Why would you want to go to trial with a jury? But yet still, these same officers are being locking up behemoths after behemoths after behemoths and putting them before the court. Did they ever once consider that, even though it's their job, did they ever once consider that when they were locking up all other behemoth mothers and fathers, fathers and sons, Odell, their time serving as officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, which they swore to protect and serve. Question needs to be asked. Why? Why are you afraid to go before a judge if you're not guilty? But this is a black on black. This is what I'm trying to explain to the general public. We're turning a blind eye to Osorio's case. We're turning a blind eye to everyone who was losing their life in some type of police involved shooting. Now, many of the times, we have a lot of violent criminals in the country. Be that it may. It's a truth. We have a lot of violent and very dangerous criminals in the country. And again, it goes back to the fact that they have been denied access at a very young age. And ain't nothing really happening in the country to really help empower them. Okay? So, in some cases, there are shootouts that are justifiable in the country, and the police were doing their job on protecting the Bahamian people and saving lives. But in many cases that we see in the corners, us investigate and then come up with this same assumption, murder by manslaughter, on so many different cases involving police officers. Okay? And it was a pardon, you know? So we talk about gangs, but the force itself is a gang, and it's an internal gang, and they are powerful. And many times, as you can see with the cases that are being coming up with murder by manslaughter, on so many different investigations that are not criminal cases, but the coroner now is turning the matter over to the AG. And in this particular matter with Osorio Major, they have their trial date. So now they're going to criminal court. That means they can look at spending time. That means there's enough evidence for them to be before the court, meaning that their account that happened that particular night is not really adding up, but leave it up to the court to decide. But looking at the video as behemoths, you know, they're talking about the media. I guess the officers are talking about the media. But when you look at it, to me, a guy who's been in the streets, looking at the video, right? It straight up to me looked like something fishy going on, and the officer seems to be in the wrong, because there's no way that young man would have been stupid enough to yuck at a firearm where all type of armed senior officers with all kind of guns around, unless he wanted to die, or unless he was so drunk, or unless he is the baddest man or the stupidest man to go around a bar where all kind of armed police officers are, and you know they're police officers, and you're going to go and get your gun, and you're going to come back there, and you ain't bust over shot, but yet still, your body is riddled with all type of bullet. See, things like that don't matter. It could have been any one of us, okay? Any one of us, it could have been, and we're trying to blind out of so many of these things. If many of us didn't voice our opinion or say it on media that something fishy is going on, we would never been able to hear all of this undercover stuff that has been going on with our authorities in this country. And that's what I'm saying, is black on black. I don't have nothing against these officers, you know. I'm just trying to explain to you that we have this Bahamas that God has given to us, and yet here we are here destroying it. But yet still we're not seeing that. We think it's all right. Pastors don't speak on these things when they see a Zario Major get killed by police. They will never speak on these things because it's against their will. You know, for some strange reason, you know. Then we had in Mason Edition, you know, I know the family in Mason Edition, they had one of their loved ones, you know, who lost a life similar to Ozario, you know, and people saying there was mistaken identity, that guy ran past who was wearing the same clothes, you know, and the police, you know, in response to armed robbery at John Taylor store on East Street. And when you get an armed robbery call, the police are going to come in full force, you know. And in the inner city community, where a lot of violent crimes happen, these officers, they are fully prepared. And some of them have seen a lot of murders and have been a part of a lot of incidents. So they are hardened. And they're not trained properly, you know. In that case, they say it's a mistaken identity. And, you know, that case, you know, it's before the court as well. Same assumption that the coroners give, and now it's passed on to the attorney general, which will now be tried before the court in a timely fashion to prove their innocence or to prove their guilt. But it's just black on black. You know, and think about this. Why we say we's a Christian nation, or we this and we that. Have you ever seen one police officer in the last 50 years go to court to testify against one of his fellow officers, whether he's right or wrong, but he go testify and say that the person who got shot pulled a gun? But as long as he's a police officer, we never see a police officer go in court and testify against the next police officer. So you know what that means? It means that the police force is 100% perfect. They have done nothing wrong. That's what it's saying. And that's what I'm talking about in this country. They have done nothing wrong. But yet still we see all of these things that they've been involved with. Are the treasonous. Many of them supposed to be charged with treason. But we don't hear no pastor talking about it. Isn't this young gentleman, you know, looking at, yes, you don't want to speak on the matter. We are so separated and dividing this country. And I just read and I just say, let me have a conversation on this here today. Little part of the show before I go to the second part of the show. You know, and officers are afraid. Why would you want to be afraid if you upholding the law? Why? Then they come up with this year. You know, officers were immune. This is one of the first time in the history of the country where we're seeing senior officers being discharged from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So how could they be perfect? So how could they be all right? It's a fraternity and they protect one another, and we're going to have to correct it because we can't have these things happen in the country. Now think about this. Since all these shooting incidents were happening around the country, right? Police involved shooting, and we always hear when Skippins would come on and say they were known to police. Since all of this scandal of being circulating around the country, for the police and wall shooting. Why has the police and wall shooting slowed down this country? Hey, Wally, since all these cases started to come up with police and wall shooting and police can bring before the coroner's court for murder by manslaughter, and now they're going to the coroner's court, and the coroner's court now is transferred to the attorney general's office, right? So that means now they could be held liable for the murder by manslaughter if they are proven guilty, right? Why do you think they would not want to go to court? I just don't understand that, far as I'm concerned, you know, because I feel that if you act in the jurisdiction of your duties as an officer, and you did the right thing in this shooting with Mr. Major, then there shouldn't be no reason why you should not be afraid to go to court. Say it's a fraternity, you know. You heard the question I asked you? You heard it? What you think? You know? So it's a very tricky situation. All I'm saying to you is that we have a block and block thing in the country, and we hurting ourselves in this country. That's all they saying. Across the board. Well, and I was talking about a lot of police and wolf shooting, Wally. It has decreased tremendously since these cases started to come up in the country. You understand? Like, it slowed down tremendously. You know, you ain't had so much police and wolf shooting. It's still happening, but it ain't happening as random. You know, like 2-3 years ago. Since all the scandal come up with it. You know, so something, you know what I mean? I just saying, you know, I've been analyzing it, you know? And we are not here, not known to the police no more. Because right now, with all the scandal right now, even the police themselves, who were on the opposite side of the law, who were not upholding the law, so for the decent officers out there who go to work from 9 to 5 or whatever shift you work, this comments are not for you guys, okay? This comment is for the officers, ready defense for us, immigration, all police who are involved in illegal activity, and who now before the court, this is for you guys. For all the hardworking officers out there, this is not for you guys, okay? They're going to set the record straight because there are a lot of decent officers I know personally who uphold the law. They act within their parameters. They don't take advantage and abuse their power. And we had so many senior officers in this country who are abusing their powers. And some are still abusing their powers today in the streets of Nassau, and we all behemoth. See, this is what I'm talking about, Rachel. This is what is destroying us, Rachel. That pride is what is destroying us. And we have to understand that it's going to take us a very, very long time to change the mindset. Because we are a violent nation. And we sugarcoat. And only because Senior Officer Curtis got locked up, and Senior Officer of the Criminal Investigation Department Johnson, and then there's his next officer, Miller, who's the next senior officer, right? And then we have a next inspector who was threatening a next inspector on a voice note who was ready to take out a decent law-abiding inspector who was on patrol, and they were in the bush, and they was getting ready to take the life of a next decent officer, like my good friend Zach Jeffrey Tucker, who were killed in the line of duty from Old Crooked Corp, Little General. Officers like that, who took the life of Zach. But like I said before, Zach passed away. Zach was able to regain consciousness after he was shot in the back of his head from a crooked cop who he arrested. And he was able to save the lives of his colleague, an ex-officer, and the life of a passenger before my good friend, Zach Jeffrey Tucker, who died in the line of duty, saved the life of 2 people. And then he passed away. But he also killed the officer who shot him in the back of his head. That's the officers I'm talking about. Not you officers. Not the good officers. Okay? So to all the good officers, you know, and some of you good officers, you're going to have to stand up and speak, you know, to some of the things that happen in the station that some officer who is not properly trained, who is abusive. We even see it on videotape. We had two officers. An officer was threatening the next female officer in the station. You know, and they got put on the reprimand. What more is going to take for us to understand that we have to change our mindset and we have to always stand up for what's right in the country? It's crazy. Wally is playing the music, so I guess we're going to take a few minutes break. We'll be right back on Guardian Radio after the break.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger meat and bro. Boy, I from meat and bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger meat and bro. Boy, I from meat and bro.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
La 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 la, la 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 la,
la 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton
Rouge. We're back on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, or Daddy. Host of the talk show, Inside Inner City. Talking reality, Bahamian people. The police are perfect, okay? They are perfect. And we get no apology. And we're not supposed to be living that way in the Bahamas, where we take advantage of one another in this country, you know. And you notice, we can talk about how we talk to one another in the homes, in the streets, out to work. We look at Parliament, we see they go out of there every day. Talk to one another in a disrespectful way. You know, what it is to be a good person. You know, we need to set more example, you know. We, our country, no less than 250,000. But like I said, we have more than 250,000 based on the fact that we have many Bahamians who migrated to Florida and many parts of the world. We have a big population of Bahamians in Florida. You know, big population who left here many years ago. And we could have over 1 million Bahamian who are descendants of Bahamians who live from the Bahamas and abroad. It could add up to that much, you know. So I just like to say, you know, we have to be more nationalist and understand the mistakes we've made. The colonization has caused us to fight against one another. We have different gangs. You know, we have the police gang, for instance, that, you know, feel that they were untouchable. And through God's grace, like the exposure that happened recently in the last 2 years, have caught the attention of all Bahamians. And now we are trying to fix it. And I hope that we continue to work on fixing it, because we do need the police in the country. But what we need to really, really have is a stable police force that deals with honesty, transparency, and decency. That's what we need. We're going to take this call, and then we're going to go to the second half of the show. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside
Inner
City.
What's going on, man?
Good night to you. What's up?
Yeah, man. It's good. You know, I've been locked up about a good 15 times. You know, maybe, more or less, good 15 times. You know, minor charges, you know. You understand me? Like, an only witness, the witness against me was police, you know. I mean, things like they, you know, they charged me with resisting arrest, officer in line with, right? And, you know, things like that. Assaulting a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means, right?
No, you see me in the newspaper. I was in the
and making criminals out of decent people.
Yeah, I was just, you see, I was in the newspaper the other day, a couple of years ago, and I had been my case before the court for the same charges you're talking about.
Right. How could you be locked up and only witness against you to police? What they stopping you for?
Yeah, you're supposed to have probable cause to stop a citizen of the Bahamas.
Right.
That's why we have to learn the Constitution, you know.
Right.
We have to stop that, yes. Pull up and say dangerous drugs and firearms. The police used that as an excuse. That was passed because of the gang activity in the country, and they used that as an excuse to break the law. You know, so they used this phrase, we suspect you of firearm and drugs, and there's nothing you can do. So we need to put a stop to that as well.
Watch me. They tell me I come from a good family. You know, my father was a millionaire. And millions in assets, a million in assets.
Yes.
You know, and you know when you're in your family, when your parents, when people die in your family, you know, all hell is go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Cousins.
And you know, police, they used to harass me, but oppress me. You understand what I'm saying? They used to take things from me. Like, I used to drive when, with four-seat bicycle. You understand what I'm saying? four wheels. With, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, please lock me above that and take that from me.
Yes.
You understand me? Charge me. I'm in the jail. When I come out of jail, it's out of sight. Nowhere to be found. Scooch, I couldn't walk on Bay Street. I was rendered homeless, right? And realized I used to be the cleanest homeless in the world. You understand me? My clothes used to be pressed. You understand me? From what's a guy named Sports. You understand me? You had bus drivers wouldn't give me ride. I had three bus drivers used to give me rides, you know. You remember Ice Ford? You remember him?
No, I know you.
Ice Ford, the baseball guy. And then you.
Oh, yeah. That's my boy. He passed away.
Huh?
He passed away now, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's Drive Champ
Derek,
Road.
Derek,
yeah,
Derek.
Yeah, that's my boy. He celebrates you, Lewis Creed, man. He was a child champ with Kieran. We're talking about the Ford guy. Yeah, that's my boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you had Perry Stubbs. This guy used to give me ride, and bus drivers wouldn't give me ride.
Mm.
Because, you know, I used to carry a load, not too much. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a tradesman. You understand me? You know what I used to do? I used to sleep. I used to rent a room and a hotel out on Long Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Every now and then.
Yeah, I remember the hotel. I know the hotel you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. These $100 a night, bro.
Yeah.
And then other nights I used to sleep on the park.
Inside of El Greco.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to be a clean roster. You know, from Sheridan, minute I hit Sheridan and try to walk down Bay Street, they locking me up.
Yeah.
I've been pulling in the what you call it, the old straw market. They used to lock me up, bro.
Mm.
Them same charges, you know.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I've been a QC, Queen's College St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? I've been in Nassau Christian Academy and all.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of people know me. They was afraid for people to see me so clean, and then people know what I was going through. You understand, amen, with, you know, through the death of my father and things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know what I mean? When people, when your
break
father
down. No, you have emotional breakdown, man. You just break down, brother. You only human, you just break down, brother.
No, I ain't break down. People break down, try to press me to take my things from me.
Mm.
You understand me? So they put the police on me. My own people render me homeless. I mean, everything good.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean? They made amends.
That's what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about us. That's what I'm talking about us as nation now. It ain't even they're talking about our people as family as well, you know.
Right. Families is break down. But they're the greatest right now. They, I know they could do it, would do without them. I'm in the position, I come to the point, I don't even want nothing in the bomb.
That's right.
You understand me? Just through the corruption of the system. And you know who corrupt too? The judges, bro. How could the judge see me come in front of them, right? And send me to jail. I come in front of them without a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
No lawyers. Only witnesses are police. You know what the police do? They don't even show up. You hear me?
Yeah, your brother.
And then, you know, they only roll you for 14 days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? And they say supposed to give you a bail on your own, your cognizant after 14 days. So them kind of charges, the only thing they were supposed to do is you render your passports and things like that, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And go to the police station, sign in and stuff like that. I scourge.
Self-signing.
14 days.
Yeah.
So, see, you know when your people ain't working with you and you know them dinky charges and you know what I mean? They're signing your bill. Scourge, I had a sister's a judge, bro.
Mm.
I'm the sister's a police, but yet they sending me to the jailhouse. You understand what I'm saying? Amongst people who my sister and my... You understand me?
Well,
my two sisters, they police and judge. Come on. They didn't even protect me. The system didn't protect me.
Mm. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, bro? That system corrupt, you know, bro.
Yeah, that's why you're talking
corrupt,
about.
The judge corrupt. Come on, man. Good. You know on that street. You remember, what's the guy named? C.I.D. Butler?
Yeah, who got killed around by us?
These officers used to be selling dope to the drug dealer.
I noticed.
I know drug dealers used to take their dope from them.
In case no one know, the area I live in, Grandstand, we had officers, we had the most officers killed in the history of the bombers in the Grantstown community. You know, we had Officer Butler got killed in the early 90s. I was shooting marble and Falk in the back of the yard when I watched him got shot.
Good. Mm. And the police who you calling good police, when you say not them, they know what's going on, so they just as bad.
You know what they telling you, eh? I say it's a fraternity, all right? And some have to keep them more close because you got to understand it go by ranks.
So they
listen, let me explain to you. You have officers, right, who would talk, but they know how serious and consequences. You can't all speak, you're a senior officer. It takes a man with serious, serious courage and balls to overshadow his superior on the Royal Bombers Police Force or the Defense Force. You have to help.
I get
a couple of people calling, so
how
you doing?
One more thing. You know, they talk in the news this week about books and the thing to the prison. You know, the prisoners ain't got access to no libraries. What bus can do them?
Yeah.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
These people, they joking, bro.
Yeah, I feel
you. Prisoners ain't got no access to no books. And the only thing they got access to in Bible, that's it.
Well, thanks for calling it, bud. All
right.
Thanks a lot. You know, people are frustrated. I'm going to say this. We need the police in the country, but listen, we had them. They would be immune based on all the facts coming out about our senior corps. So it should send a chill down our spine that this has been happening. How long this has been happening? How has it affected us? I don't understand why this country is not in uproar and we're taking it so slow. See, these are things on how people's going to vote coming up to the next general election, you know. And this might not seem like nothing for us to pay attention to, but when we see things, the breach of the highest authority by people who are supposed to be doing right and they're doing wrong in our country, and, you know, a lot of us are quiet in the country, some of us are speaking out, and this is the highest level of corruption. You understand? And we're trying to brush it under the rug, hoping that election will change all of this. It's a personality going on in our country, and we need to fix it. If we don't fix this corruption, now listen, we can't fix all corruption, okay? We can't fix all the corruption in the country, okay? We're never going to be a 100% perfect country. No, we are not. But we have to minimize it. You're trying to tell me you got to be 100% corrupted? Well, let's take one little 15 or 20% or something, because, you know, it's never going to be perfect, okay? We're never going to have that perfect husband. We're not going to have the perfect wife, okay? It is not going to happen. You're going to find fault in me, and I'm going to find fault in you. Even for the simplest things, even though we're happily married together, there's some type of fault I'm going to find. And what you doing when you go in the fridge, I might take the milk and put the my milk, you might not like that. Or when my wife, she go in there, she would have a phone on when she talking to people and I'm trying to sleep, you know. So it's not going to be a perfect thing, but we can minimize it, okay? The police job is to minimize the criminal elements in the country, okay? The teacher's job in this country is to train as much people as possible so that a lot of people won't be illiterate in the country, so that we stand a chance of up and productive citizen. You know, it's not 100% that every student coming to school is going to be successful and get the education. No, we put things in place to make sure we have a stable country that we can go off. You understand? And that's how it run. You know? So, let me go to the second half of the show. You can play the clip for me, please.
I feel optimistic about our country. We are finally going in the right direction. Even in hard times, there are moments to find tremendous opportunity. We can build an economy that truly includes everyone. Too many Bahamians have been overlooked because of outdated definitions of who deserves a chance. It's time to throw those out. My mission is to make sure every Bahamian has the opportunity to realize their God-given potential. We are changing the economy, creating more paths to security and success. And 4 years in, I still feel blessed to be able to do this work. I feel.
That's the Prime Minister. He's talking about, you know, improving the economy. He wants to give everyone an opportunity to the opportunities. You know, we got, I think, 3 billion all this investment from a lot of investors, Carnival, many other companies around the world who have invested in the country. They think it totaled $3 billion. We have an estimated, we had estimated 7.7 million last year, or year before last. Like, and now we're on record pace this year. I think 9.7 million. Then they said that the 9.7 million was last year. And now we're on record pace for 11 million visitors will come to our shores by boat and by plane in the country. And for me, here's the thing. The Prime Minister speaks about empowering all. This is the mindset from day one, Mr. Prime Minister, and to the opposition leader, and to Coalition of Independence. Your priority from day one, after winning an election, is to provide the opportunity that you just speak upon, not to the last 4 years. Here's the thing, my assumption on politics in this country. Election comes around every 5 years. Campaign going after 3 to 4 years into your term. After completing the election process, whoever becomes the leader of the country assumes the role of providing everything that the Prime Minister just stated just now for everyone, and that's his job. The thing is, Prime Ministers don't understand this. Prime Minister Brave Davis, in his mind, he represents the Progressive Liberal Party. Even though he speaks on the Comrade of the Bombers, he does not, even though he's saying it. Because he himself are being brainwashed by the party structure, the system. See, when you become Prime Minister after your election campaign and you win the general election, you forget about the PLP, right? You focus on the task at hand, poverty, crime, development, okay? You are not the Prime Minister of the PLP. You are Prime Minister of the words you just said just now, that you want to provide opportunities for every Bahamian in this country. When you win the election, whether you're PLP or FNM or Coalition of Independence, you are no more leader of the Coalition of Independence. You're no more leader of the Free National Movement. You're no more leader of the PLP until it gets to your fourth year in term. Then you start a campaign and see if you get your next chance. Your first 4 years, why is you become the Prime Minister? Why should you become the Prime Minister? Listen to the words. When you win, you become the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, not the Prime Minister of the PLP or the Prime Minister of the FNM. You got to be Prime Minister for all. You got to forget about the opposition. Yeah, let them speak and host the parliament. You just go do the people's business. And then let the people decide within the 4 years if you should be elected again to be the government of the Bahamas again. Use your party to get there. But after you win, you dissolve that. You know, this is the hardest thing. I think this is the hardest thing we're ever going to do if we're ever going to get somewhere in this country. That once you become the Prime Minister, or once you become a member of Parliament for that particular party and that particular community, your job as a sitting member of Parliament is to go and fulfill the needs of that community. And the works you do will decide if the people in that specific community is going to vote to elect your party again as the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But you're not the prime minister of the PLP, and you're not the prime minister of the FNM when you get elected. Let that be decided after your fourth year. Then you go again and start saying, you know, I mean, you have your regular party thing and stuff, but what I'm trying to say, as the individual who holds the power, you as the prime minister to start thinking, now, I'm not going to do the same thing all my predecessors did. I'm going to do something. I want to see if I can open up avenues where I could work with members of parliament, members of the Free National Movement, if they're doing a good job, and appoint them at some type of position that they are qualified for. And I still could give someone in my party position as well. You know? I've seen some prime ministers do it, and then their members start to say, well, he looked like he empowered more Free National Movements, Free National members of parliament. He doing more favors than them than he doing for his PLP or the Free National Movement, saying, you know, he look like he's a Free National Movement, but he helping out the PLP MPs. See, when we become a government, you're not the PLP, you're not the FNL. I mean, it's hard for people to understand where I'm coming from. I'm trying to tell you, when you become that prime minister, you have to say, listen, I came here because I see the suffering of the Bahamian people. I well off. You see it, but you don't feel it. See, a lot of the leaders in this country, they talk about the pain they see the average Bahamian is feeling in this country. They don't feel it. They don't feel it. You can't feel it. Listen to me again. If you are poisoned by the steak, you come from nothing, right? That's the difference right there, right? But you coming from nothing, right? In some instance, I'm talking about people who are in the politics or in the church, right? And you have an opportunity to make millions. So coming from nothing, that's like 40, 50, 40 years ago. So you've been living good for like 30 years in the country. You know? So you wouldn't see the suffering of the average individual out there who is working for $210, who the government now just carried up to $260. You won't see their struggles. You won't know their bills. You won't know that when they go home, that their rent is $100 a week or $150 or $200 a week, and they're only making $210, $260, even $260. Okay? They voted for PLP. They voted for the afternoon. Right? But they still have a life to live. Right? Because they're thinking that once their party get elected, that someone's going to drop out of the sky for them. But they end up going in limbo and still have to go on their own and try to make ends meet with a $260 minimum wage. I see trade union Congress president Obie Ferguson. He was talking about the minimum wage, and he said it should increase from the $260 to $350. I also see Member of Parliament, Pierre Glover Roll, who was a schoolmate of mine at C.R. Walker, who I'm quite pleased with the work she's doing in her ministry. You know, she's doing an excellent job. There's some things she's lacking, but, you know, like I said, she is doing the best that she can. You know, there's some we can criticize, you know. A lot of us are moderate leaders, but we have some MPs on both sides who are doing a tremendously good job. And she is one of those, you know. And she might have her critics, but she is working, you know. She is working. I must give her credit. She's doing a great job. She also spoke on the minimum wage, and she said the government is looking at it, you know, to try and see if we can increase it. You know, I feel that the prime minister said those remarks with the clip that was played. He said he wanted a wide opportunity, and, you know, and the economy, you know. But we can't create an economy with $260, you know. For the average Bahamian, the prime minister can't do nothing with this right now as we speak. The most he can do is give out a few contracts right now to some of the people around in the community for his MPs to give out. And that's a good thing to help stimulate and get some kickbacks back in the community from the contracts that would be given to numerous people around the country. I looked in the newspaper, $7 million roads and park, that's over budget from $5 million. And that could be one of the reasons why they are over budget because they're giving out multi-contracts and trying to get some cash flow in the inner city community that could trickle down. And this is one of the ways they are doing it. And this is one of the things that the Prime Minister is talking about, but that is too slow. You know, it's only affecting a small percentage, you know. But when we look at it, we have a vast majority of people in the country who can't live off $260 a week, Mr. Prime Minister. That's why I say both parties, you know, they're talking, but they have yet to come up with a formula. From 210, right? And we saw the rent. We saw the government cracking down on Airbnb. They're cracking on landlords, on increasing high levels of rent. Some people are overcharging their tenants. Some people are overcharging with the Airbnb. You know, it's ridiculous in the country. So how are people supposed to make it in the country? You know, Mr. Prime Minister? How? You know? It's crazy. It's crazy. So Obi Ferguson, you know, he was saying that 350 would be increased. But I'm saying that if we know we have this problem in the country, okay, we have this blooming economy, $3 billion between the Ministry of Tourism and the Prime Minister, Chester Cooper. Most of this investment, I guess, came from Chester Cooper because he has been on a roll, you know, and he is doing miracles in his community of Exuma and his constituency. Notice what he's doing. It's going to be hard for Chester Cooper to lose an Exuma because the Exuma keys and Exuma that he is the member of parliament from, he is doing all the things that an MP is supposed to do. And the only reason he can do that is because he have access to all government departments. He isn't like Mr. Watson, who has to write a letter to Water and Sewerage or BPL just to come fix the light on Hay Street Park or in the Grand Sound community. Mr. Chester Cooper has access, the Prime Minister has access, so that's why they can make a lot more happen in their community. But for communities like Centerville and Jerome Campbell is also doing some good work in this respective community as well. You know, not as much, but, you know, effective, but can do 10 times more with the proper investment, with the proper set of community leaders around them. And if they're listening to community leaders, I'm not talking about community leaders who are looking for a contract. Yeah, the contract can come, but people who are concerned about the community has great ideas on what they need to see happen in the community, and they can make it happen as long as they can get assistance from that particular MP. As long as that MP want to sit down to the table in the environment of the community, not going to the MP office. You know, I see Concolito, my boy Concolito, say he's trying to go see one minister. And she was in there, and he going back again. Conkley, you should know better. You know, the ministers, them hands are full, and they don't respect us. You understand? Because they don't come to us. They want us to go to them in the office and use the one with the ideas, and you got to wait on them, or they late. And that's why nothing is get done. That's why me, I ain't got no time to go around no minister. I ain't got no time to even go around the prime minister, because I ain't got no to wait on nobody who ain't respect me the way I respect them. And I don't believe no one better than me, and I believe I better than nobody, but I have pride. And the only thing that makes me better than somebody else is how I treat people, how I talk to people, how I conduct myself around people. And no vulgar behavior, no hatred, just pure kindness. But one thing I ain't a fool with is to go sit around a place where people sitting down talking to you, and you could have the best advice on how you could help them in their particular community as a community leader, but they listening to you, but they ain't gonna hear you, they hearing you, but they sitting there, and in their mind, they ain't listening to the words you have to say, because they are trapped with their political aspiration and their team of people. So you, us who was an outsider, you might have the best solution for the community or that particular street, but they don't want to work with you because they play like they're working with you, but they want you on their term, you know? And they're supposed to be working for us. You understand? That's the biggest problem we face right now in this country. And that's why I'm talking about we're divided. in this country. You know, so a 350 can't work. You know, people get light bill. You know, yes, your light bill going up. The government is doing some good things, but they're saying it's just too slow, man. You know, just too slow. You heard the prime minister about 2 years ago stated that it's too much for him, you know? The prime minister himself cannot do this, the general public. Despite all the programs they are doing, we get distracted. We need constant groundwork in this country. Constant groundwork that we need in this country, you know? 360, and I think the Obi, for example, says the minimum wage, last time, I think they increased it from 2022, the PLP government. And they took it, I think they carried the 260. Now, Obi Ferguson is saying 350. I say PL Global Role was saying that the government was looking at increasing it. Why not every five? Let's say if the government goes in, after 2.5 years, if the government could say, you know, if the minimum wage right now is 260, the government should say, in the next 2 years, we're going to see if we can increase it by $150 or $200. Okay? And then if the administration get elected again, you know, to boost it up, you could say, well, we get it to, like, basically, let's say we get it to, you know, from the 250, we add, let's say, like Obi say, $150 onto that, right? So we get it from 250, that'd be probably 450 or something like that. And then we say, if we win the next general election, we add the next two on, you know? So, and find a way how we can persuade the business owners around the country, we have to increase the minimum wage based on the high cost of living in the Bahamas. We're going to find some way, tax the shipping companies, tax the companies that are shipping food over here with you, low tax, something, you know. We could come up with something, you know. Financial secretary like Simon Wilson or those financial secretary who good with numbers and know how to tax and, you know what I'm talking about. They could work it out. They could work it out, and we could continue to increase the minimum wage in this country, you know, because I think, you know, with an increase every 2 years, 2-3 years, and we could get it to the minimum wage and say, if the PLP was successful in winning the next general election, and they could get it up to 350, like, next year, and then give it 2 years and make this a mandate, you would increase it again to about $150 or $200. And then time is you leave in office, you can say, you know what? This will be your election campaign. That we increase it again by an extra $150. So we're looking at, well, it's $700 weekly, you know, for 9 to 5 individuals living in the country. This alone can change the dynamics of our country because the prime minister can't do it alone. He asked himself, you heard him say 2 years ago that he's exhausted. He can't deal with all that. He's asking for help, all right? We heard numerous pastors, numerous community leaders say that we can't do it alone. But if we empower people by increasing the minimum wage, right? We empower people with small businesses. I see the Honorable Keith Bell, Minister of Housing, is doing a fantastic job of building houses, and in some cases rent-to-own. I see my friend Elroy Bryce, you know, he's talking about the government thief in the property and stuff like that. You know, I understand everything he's saying. I understand the concern. But I also understand that a lot of the houses in these communities are dialect and are being there for like 30, 40 years and families can't get along. So I've always said that if we could do some constructive wrong, but we have to make sure they are for behemoths. We have to make sure they are for behemoths. Thousands of houses that are abandoned and can't be repaired or broke down and put there as rent to own. but these houses have to be for payments, and also the property that's going to be confiscated. The government also saying that they pay for the property. If it's a family generational property and they're doing nothing with it, the government saying they're willing to purchase it, or they are willing to assist you. In some cases, I heard Mr. Keith Bell state that they say that the government is not taking no one property. And I said this many years ago. This is not the first time I'm saying that. In fact, I've been the one who's been saying this for years, that we need to do some of these abandoned houses and do something constructive, or don't, you know, build. You could build little mini malls and start a lot of small businesses in these inner city communities, you know, barber shops, bakeries, you know. And some of these communities need this type of investment because we have the Chinese, and the Chinese are all purpose. The Chinese selling rum, they're selling food, they're selling clothes. So they're all in one. So why not? Let's be constructive and take away some of the opportunities from the Chinese, and let's give the Bahamians by helping start a lot of small businesses. This is not going to slow down the Chinese business, because we're still going to buy wholesale from the Chinese. But what we can do, we could buy wholesale from the Chinese and go in our particular stores in inner city communities and set up our small businesses. And we could sell at a cheaper price because we're buying wholesale. So once you're buying wholesale, you could sell at a cheaper price. But if you're buying them retail, that's expensive. So go wholesale. So when you go buy a bulk case of beer, you know, because you could go to Commonwealth Brewery and say, buy a bulk of beer. And, you know, if the manager see your beers are going good, he'd give you an X bulk. You know, how far is your beer selling? You're saying you could go in the inner city community and sell these at a very cheap price, like how people are 3 for $5, collect beers and stuff like that. So you got to be creative. There's a lot of small business. There are a lot of things that can be created in these inner city community. You know, I'm just going to say this. I want to sit down with the members of Parliament, Mr. Watson, and stuff like that. But Mr. Watson is too busy, and he is inclined to his political party in now's election time. I look at the community of being a grandstand, and I see an area that can actually transform into one of the prosperous communities in the Bahamas, like how it was in the old days. I just look at the parks, for instance. There's a park. Okay. I go real quick. There's a park on top of Ben Town Hill, close from Grey Cliff. I look at that park and I could help these MPs and help the country, you know. And I say that right there could turn into a tourist attraction. I say that park is right there in the vicinity of Grey Cliff and in Ben Town. I said, we put on 20 stalls on that park right there. Help some trained people who are untrained for small businesses and the hair braiding, barbers, and selling little food. I said, that spot where they could turn into a fish fry right there immediately and transform that little spot there to one of the next fish fry where we have guests coming on there from Grey Cliff in the community of Grandstand, where we have people who are being trained properly by BTVI and the Small Business Association, where they could have their small business and they could set up right there, and we'd have the guests who are the customers, you know, and that's how we can make a dollar. My producer said we'd have to take a break on Guardian Radio 96.9. Don't go away. We're back on Inside the Inner City after the break.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churning. go to church every Sunday. So what do you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Nothing beats a Chickchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chickchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chickchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChickchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
We're back on Guardian Radio. My producer in studios, Wally. And like I said, we're talking about different topics today. You know, we talked about in the first half about Rosario, this case. Officers feel that they were not are not going to get a fair trial, so they decided to waive their right to a jury. And like again, like I said, why would you want to do something like that if you know you were right? They say that they feel they're not going to get a fair trial. I don't understand that. If you was doing your job the right way, you were supposed to do your job, there's no reason to fail. And like I said, we have to protect ourselves, because if we don't protect ourselves, in other words, we had a lot of high-profile people and a lot of government institute, whether it's parliament, the police force, defense force, using their position of power and believe they could get away with anything. And because of that, corruption came in place and we started to prey on one another. Now we have to try to correct that and bring a stable country where we respect you for the position you hold, but we are not allowing you to be abusive, to get away with all kind of illegal activities that has tarnished the Bahamas name and reputation. Okay? And again, I listened to Keith Bell. He said that the government is taking no property. They say they would lock on cannabis area and they would purchase it from individuals if they want to sell. If they don't want to sell, the government said they would help them find something to do constructive with it. So it make more sense. And again, the reason I make these points, right, about many of the topics. And I start off, and the Prime Minister, I played a clip of the Prime Minister, and he talked about opportunities. Here's the reason why I do what I do on the show, and to show you that things are getting worse in the country. We have your children found rummaging through dumpster, now in protective custody. This is what I do inside the inner city. Two young children who were led starved by their father and found scavenging from a dumpster are being placed in protective custody and enrolled in school, according to social service Minister Miles Lerodo. Mr. Lerodo said, the children aged 9 and 6 are in good health and are adjusting to their new environment, but they declined to share further details to protect their privacy. The 39-year-old father was arraigned in July on 2 counts of child cruelty after authorities alleged found the child wandering the streets, eating from garbage bins. The alleged neglect occurred on October 17, 2024. Police said the children were found in a vulnerable state, promoting an investigation and the man's arrest. He pleaded not guilty before Assistant Chief Magistrate Caroline Vogel Evans. Prosecutor Inspector Coakley objected to bail, citing defendant's lack of legal status. See page 4.
As immigration officers confirmed, he had no lawful status in the Bahamas. Bail was denied. You see what illegal immigrants could do to our country? Now, what is going to happen to the father now? Listen to this. These are the cases we're talking about now. We're showing you how these things are going to affect us. Now, he left his children. He has no status. He has his children in the country. We can't send his children back. Now, we're going to take these children. What are we going to do with the father now? You understand what's going on in our country? See, it's right there. You see what's happening now? We're going to send the father back. Now we're going to keep these children. So we're going to separate the children from the father. He can't take care of the children because he has no status in the country. It's crazy. Okay, then again, a 13-year-old boy died when a fire broke out at a friend's house he was staying in overnight, turning the building into a blazing inferno. The heartbreaking cries of the youngster screaming for help filled the air as neighbors tried desperately to rescue him by breaking windows and throwing buckets of water at a single-story wooden house in Crown Haven, Abaco. Again, see, Mr. Prime Minister, you know what you was talking about in Power and Oil? That's why you can't be a prime minister. Any prime minister who wins the general election in the upcoming election, listen to me. You're not PLP or FNM. Going into the election, and when you win that, throw it away. Throw it away and just be the prime minister for all citizens in the country, okay? Then when they get after the 3, 4 years, you pull the party back together, and then you start campaigning. But for the first 3 years, when you get in power, deal with these things. We need fire extinguishers in the houses. People need properly trained. Urban Renewal can help with that. We have children roaming the streets. If we empower community residents with small business and we establish a lot of small business owners in these communities, we can help out and deal with some of these problems. If we see these kids in the streets roaming, you know, the garbage, maybe if I have a small business, and we have a couple of small business community, we could deal with these things. Someone would identify that in the community and bring this to us, and we will be able to help the 2 kids. And we could be able to change so much things in the community. But we have to be empowered. And how are we going to get empowered? Government and private sector are going to have to invest in these communities and bring citizen to a business standard. Now, I'm not saying business is going to help everyone, you know. But a lot of things are going to happen off having small businesses. Everyone can be a business owner. That's not what I'm saying. But I know the effects of a lot of people getting involved in business. Because once a lot of people get involved in business, there will be so many things that could be created out of all the different businesses in the community. And so many side jobs would be available. And we could get together as a team and start to see the problems that are happening in our community and fix them. When that little girl, Ariel, in Carmichael Road, who lost her life, she had no current in her house, no light in her community. Trees overgrown. She was taken advantage of by a young man who was in and out of prison, who was staying in a wig scheme hoax. How could we allow that? No light in the little girl's house. Now we're seeing the same thing again with children found rummaging through dumpster, now under protective custody. And now we're seeing the father has no status in the country, so he's being denied bail. Now these 2 children, now the government got to deal with them. How many and thousands of people like this in the same position here in the country today. What are we going to do now? Send the father back Haiti? Keep the two children? Separate the children from their daddy? He done ain't getting nothing. So you see why we need to empower? You understand? This is what's going on in our country. He is locked up now, Wally. And he has no status in the country, so he ain't supposed to be in the first place. Right? But he's here. Under our law, we have to take care of the children. Now we have to decide what we're going to do with them. Are we going to send them back home? Me and your taxpayers' money is going to have to deal with these two kids for the rest of their, for the rest of their life till they get 18. You understand? So that's why you understand this, how serious this is. It's a serious thing. People who look at this, they read the newspaper, don't even see how serious it is. See, they think this is one case. But there are thousands of cases just like this in our country. And the government can't deal with it. It takes a collective body. And the only way we're going to do now is when the prime minister of the PLP starts to say he is the prime minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. The opposition leader, who is the opposition leader of the Free National Movement, when if he challenges to be the prime minister, he succeeds, Wally, he needs to say, when he gets in power, after he gets elected, that he is not the prime minister of the Free National Movement. He is the prime minister of the PLP. He is the prime minister of the Free National Movement. And he's the prime minister of all MP. And his job is to uplift everyone. Now, after the third, fourth year, if your MPs them do good, what they supposed to do, then you say, as a leader of the PLP, I'm asking for a second chance, or neither the F and them, I'm asking for a second chance, and these are my candidates, and if they did good in their respective community, we now as one body, y'all could vote for us. That's how it's supposed to be. Not PLP from you get elected, F and them when you get elected, and now you can say you, and now, of course, the prime minister saying it, he's saying now you want to be a prime minister for all now, but you're supposed to be being prime minister from day one. So, the music is playing, my producer's like, that's it for tonight. I hope you enjoy the show. But the only thing I'm trying to show you all people in this country is that black on black is destroying us. Because he have nothing to do with no white man. Unless we realize that we have to be able to understand we all want this country. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. My producer is Wally. And I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Big up, Elroy.
The ghetto people, I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up, Bintan, bro.